You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, December 15th, 2014. My name is Matt Binder.
I'm Michael Brooks.
And this is the three-time award-winning The Majority Report. We are broadcasting to you live, steps from the industrial-ravaged Gowanus Canal.
In the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn.
USA.
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 On today's program, an Eminem Monday, no guest, sans guest. We're going to be talking shop, a lot to cover.
It's the last live Matt and Mike Monday of 2014.
Yeah, the year went by very fast. A very action-packed 2014.
Got lots to talk about, yeah.
Go ahead, what do you got?
Well, we're going to be talking about the Sydney siege.
Yep.
That just seemed to have been wrapped up with news still coming out where a lone gunman took hostages in a chocolate shop for what seems to be about 17 hours now in Australia, Sydney, Australia. We'll be bringing you the latest news on that. Also, The Guardian was able to get video footage from the interrogation of John Crawford, who you remember was the young black man who was shot and killed by police in Cleveland for holding a airsoft-type gun, which they sell in Walmart. That's the crime he committed, basically, holding a airsoft BB gun-type thing in Walmart while being black. They have a video of the cops interrogating his girlfriend, and it's not pretty.
It's not pretty. Dick Cheney went on Meet the Press to explain why forced rectal feeding is not torture and issue a bunch of other lies that we need to correct and point out. There's a great response in Australia from the Australian community in support of the Muslim community, so that there isn't a backlash against that community as a result of this horrible siege that's just taken place. Uber also stepped up for the Australian community and the community of Sydney in relation to that siege, as you can imagine. Not a great way of stepping up.
Yeah. They stepped something up.
They certainly stepped something up. That's exactly right. China, thinking about making moves against ISIS to protect its oil flows in Iraq, all part of the new map, really, in the world. We'll touch on that for a second. And we got a bunch more sound. The other thing,
this past weekend was the Millions March protests throughout the country, and we'll have some we'll discuss that, and we have some sound about Fox News discussing that. You can imagine what that's like.
I'm already wishing I was back in Trinidad.
How was your vacation, Michael?
Had a great time. More on that.
I'm sorry,
later.
I mean your suspension. How was your suspension?
It was probably the most relaxing suspension imaginable.
How did you convince Sam to bring you back?
I actually didn't. I started getting these panicked emails in the middle of the night begging me to return. Apparently, everything was falling apart without me.
Oh no, those were meant for Amber.
But Amber was here, buddy.
No, he was begging her to come back Monday, like to be here.
Okay, and he just emailed me by accident?
Yeah.
The other thing is
The A and the M are very close on the keyboard.
Right. The IMs are open, so you can IM us.
We're going to be taking IMs early and phone calls.
Yes, I'm getting to it.
Give us the number, Michael.
Go ahead.
646-257-3920, whether you're a liberal, conservative, libertarian, whatever, especially if you're conservative and or libertarian, please call in. 646-257-3920. We will be taking calls all throughout the show, the last live Matt and Mike of 2014.
And before we get to it, a lot of stories to get to you. I will get to you in a moment. But Matt is going to share a great deal that we have for our listeners.
Now,
go ahead.
Now, as you all know from Sam last week, I'm very excited about this deal. Probably our most exciting offer we have to give our Majority Report listeners of all time. Well, not maybe. Bombas.com. That's B-O-M-B-A-S. Bombas.com. Has a great offer for you if you need some socks. Now, these are high-quality socks, and on top of that, for every pair of socks you purchase, they will donate a pair of socks to somebody in need. I think that's a great win-win-win, one of those win-win-wins we always talk about on this show. Just go to bombas.com/majority, and the offer they're giving you as a Majority Report listener is one free pair of socks or 20% off your entire order, your choice. So definitely go to bombas.com, B-O-M-B-A-S.com, and replace those socks you're always losing in the washer dryer when you do your laundry. I know I always lose my socks. And you're able to donate a pair to people, too, who are in need. B-O-M-B-A-S, bombas.com/majority.
That sounds like a perfect majority deal. Go for it, folks. All right. I guess I'll just touch on this briefly. The siege in Sydney has apparently come to an end. I don't know. The last I checked before we went on air, there was reports that two people had lost their lives. Police were not confirming that in Sydney. They were only confirming that the siege had ended. Obviously, more will come out, and I'm sure Matt is checking it as I go over this story to add in any gaps that there may be. But as I say, the last piece of news that commandos, Australian commandos, went into the cafe where the siege was taking place. As you know, a guy went in there over the weekend, demanded that they put up a black flag representing ISIS, and took over this cafe, this cafe in Sydney, and there's a little bit that's come out about this guy. I think it's interesting because, look, obviously there is a Muslim dimension to this in the sense that he was a cleric. He was acting, supposedly in accordance with some, religious conviction. But when you kind of look into this guy, it was an Iranian cleric named Mon Haran Monis, who has actually had asylum in Australia from Iran. I'm not actually sure about that process. You know, information is just emerging about him. Iranian, unless someone corrects me, I'm assuming presumably he was Shia. It would be very bizarre why a Shia cleric would want the ISIS flag to represent his actions when ISIS, of course, are fanatical Sunnis kind of bent on literally wiping Shias out of the Middle East. But, you know, when you get to this guy and where he was coming from, it looks to me like a little bit more of a mental health issue, not, of course, in any way excusing it. This is a very violent, cruel person. He was on trial for a string of violent offenses, including a murder charge of being an accessory to murder of his ex-wife. He was also facing more than 40 counts of sexual assault and indecent assault charges. And he had he also been convicted of sending offensive letters to deceased Australian soldiers. So he sounds almost to me like a kind of violent, abusive man, mixed with almost like the that church in Kansas, the Fallsboro Baptist Church that harasses people and tries to through the letter to the soldiers.
Westboro Baptist Church. But yes, here's what I have to add. Yeah. He was a Shia Muslim,
right? So that makes no sense.
But
that
seems to have converted to Sunni Islam just last month.
Okay, but that would sort of fit a pattern of sort of, again, a real mental health issue here. his lawyer, one of his lawyer, his former lawyer, Mandy Constantinides, described Moniz as an isolated figure who he believes is probably acting alone. Quote, his ideology is just so strong and powerful that it clouds his vision for his common sense and objectiveness. So sure, that would obviously point to his religious convictions. But he also said, look, you know, he went on to say, knowing he was on bail for very serious offenses and knowing that while he was in custody, some terrible things had happened to him, I think he thought he may consider that he was going to lose and hence participating in something as desperate and outrageous as this. He claimed he suffered from poor treatment while in prison. I will say my other kind of snapshot from this is I do think if it was if this was the act of a more you know, Al-Qaeda or ISIS like terrorist attack, I don't think, you know, the attack that Al-Shabaab did on the mall in Kenya a couple years ago, they went in and just murdered people, or the Oberoi in India in 2008. I mean, there was just a really high body count. So I think, and thank God there wasn't one, obviously. But I think that the way this played out points probably more to mental health issues and the sort of circumstances that this guy was in, clearly through his own creation by doing these really despicable things. Now, I'm going to get to two different responses to this. Once again, the IMs are coming in, and the IMs are open, and the phone lines are open. Matt, would you give that number one more time?
646-257-3920.
You know what? They really cruelly, like, removed the numbers from the computers. I can't even read them anymore. This is really great. In Australia, in response to this attack, and it should be said that, you know, all of the mainstream and broad Muslim groups in Australia have condemned this attack, been very forward on this. But non-Muslim Australians have basically taken to Twitter in this incredible hashtag. It's a hashtag, I will ride with you. And it's really amazing because what they're basically saying is that they will literally go on a bus or train ride with Muslim residents of Sydney or Australia at large who feel uncomfortable or like they might be the victim of some type of violent attack that's motivated by their religion. I would add that I would imagine also, you know, Sikh residents of Australia might have this fear. I mean, Sikhs, obviously an entirely different religion, but another group of people that's often been targeted. Right after September 11th, Sikh man was murdered, I believe in Arizona. He owned a gas station. He was shot and killed as part of what the murderer thought was an attack on Islam. But this Twitter hashtag has been trending. I think, is it number one right now, Matt? It's right up there. It's an incredible trend. And, you know,
Sydney siege is the number one trending one. Obviously, that's the one news about the event.
Right,
and then
right.
I'll ride with you is
number
two.
So it's just this beautiful response. And, you know, some of the people, you know, people are even getting really practical about it. One woman tweeted, practical thing. I've made a temporary sticker for my bag so people who need me can spot me. This is someone who's volunteering for the rides. And someone else added, I'll ride with you no matter what race, gender, or age you are. I'll ride with you and treat you equally because we are all equal. Hashtag I'll ride with you. I think it's really important to note these types of things, not just because, you know, it's a great story and it's a great use of social media, but there is a it's very important. I mean, honestly, just even for our own psyches and our own perspective on the world at large, to balance these things out. So, you know, you have this horrible attack by this really deranged and violent person. And it seems, the information that we have so far, it seems to have been handled well by Australian authorities. And then you just have this incredible response from Twitter and from Australian citizens. And you know, this type of thing is not unheard of. Several weeks ago, after the attacks in Canada, a mosque was vandalized. The whole community came together, rebuilt it. And obviously, this isn't just about Muslims. This is about a commitment to living in a certain way in community, in openness, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you believe. And that baseline is really important. And of course, it goes both ways, from the Muslim community and towards the Muslim community. And it's just really beautiful to see. What are we going to add?
Also necessary, though, because like Michael was saying, but also in this specific instance, the Australian Defence League, I think they're called, which is like the Australian wing of the EDL, the English Defence League, right, which is well known
they're
white
far,
power
far right,
racism.
Kind of white power with a suit and tie.
Apparently, some members of the Australian Defence League showed up at the scene to just start screaming racial Islamophobic things. So, I mean, it could get very ugly, and it's good that there's people. The far majority of people out there who are saying, no, we won't let it happen.
And that's another big thing you're seeing. I mean, I was so amazed, you know, I wasn't in town, but, you know, the unbelievable, the protests in New York about Eric Garner, the I will ride with you, putting your bodies on the line. I mean, you know, putting your actual physical presence where your mouth is amazing. And it's both totally necessary and great to see more than that. Now, Uber had its own response to the Sydney siege. I don't know. They're more tacky than the Australian Defence League, but I guess not as dangerous. Their thought was – because Uber runs on this thing called surge they do surge pricing. So as an example, if there's a storm in New York City, you know, I don't take cars really that much, but say it starts pouring and, you know, your bag is going to get – your computer will get ruined, whatever. And all of a sudden you need a car. They spike their prices up because they know there's higher demand. And it's okay. So, like, you know, fair enough. Sure. But what they did in Sydney is they took the opportunity of the Sydney siege to go into surge pricing in Sydney during the siege. That was their response, not to offer free rides to relatives who might be upset, might want to be closer to the scene, might want to not be closer to the scene, not to coordinate rides to help get deliveries to people dealing with the situation on the ground, or even just, you know, keep their mouth shut and do normal services and focus on, you know, hacking into journalists' email accounts or whatever else it is that they do in their spare time. They went right into surge pricing. They backed down after a huge public outcry because, of course, they don't need another bad PR stain. I'm sure Ashton Kutcher will be on Twitter to defend the surge pricing as soon as he's done with Kabbalah class. But look, I mean, when you look at this company, and I think, you know, it gets hard because in some ways, you know, you want to make examples of specific companies. I mean, Walmart represents something about the slave wage industry. McDonald's represents something. But at the same time, you're looking – it's important to look systemically and not just get into a story about, well, that particular company is really egregious and, you know, I'll shop at Target instead, because you want to talk about structural issues, obviously. And I'm into, you know, smacking Uber around as much as the next person, but I think the issues represented by Uber go beyond Uber and, you know, need to be looked at more broadly. But look, man, I mean, could you imagine Uber being around during Hurricane Katrina? I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I just go through time with Uber, like, you know, during Schindler is help rescuing Jews from the Holocaust. And they're like, oh, whoop. Love your work, buddy. Surge pricing. I mean, you know, I it's just unbelievable that this kind of manic tackiness of this company. I mean, there's really not much more to add to that.
It's the sharing economy, baby. It's the future that we're building.
It's the future that we're building, the future we build where we surge price during the Sydney siege.
It's disgusting. It really is. I mean, you could complain about taxi service or whatever. I mean, if you live in Manhattan or wherever there's regular, you know, taxis. But, you know, a world where you are charged extra because because there's an event like this and they're charging you more to get out.
I'm telling you, it's slotted just, at any single point in history. You could say, you know, the Oberoi attack in Bombay, in Mumbai. That's in 2008, I think, or 2009. Oh, my God. People are getting, you know, murdered on the street. What are we going to do? Well, it's great. We'll help get you to the airport. We'll surge price you for it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it makes it – I think it does make, you know – the sharing economy is not all one thing, obviously, and there's a lot to it. But the real – I think actually the biggest danger is that it's a way of people really starting to buy their own BS, because the language of it can really obscure – I mean, because that's just as predatory as it gets. There's nothing more predatory than that.
Oh, for sure.
And anyways, look, and I will add this. We do well as a show. And I'm really proud of the work all three of us do on this program, and it's great, you know, really learning under Sam. I'm being genuine here, and over the past couple of years, built up a little bit of a public profile. But I will say this. Look, I want 2015 to be big for me, and I want it to be big for everybody. And if Uber would like to begin an investigation on me and my personal life, anything.
Oh, I welcome
and
them
Matt,
to do the same. Please.
We welcome you. Please, 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 if we could be on Uber's enemy list, that would be great. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. And I still use your service from time to time, even though several times I've actually been sexually harassed by drivers. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I can proudly say that I have never used Uber, will never use Uber, will never download that app on my phone. I have no need for Uber. Thank you very much.
Well,
in fact, I don't really take taxis ever. I could probably count the number of times in my lifetime I've taken a taxi on my two hands. Like, it's just not – I'm a subway bus kind of guy. I'm a man of the people.
Yeah, I mostly am too. There's certain situations that come up though where you need to do it. All right, let me read a few IMs. Jim Botox, when you are invited to the Cheney's for dinner, do you bring your own hospital gown? Ooh, that's gross. That's really funny. Wi-Fi beams, Gowanus Canal. How many people outside Bill BK are familiar with that? You might as well say just steps away from J Street Metro Tech subway stop on the A train. Welcome back, Michael. Thank you. Well, look, we like to, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving people a flavor of where we're located. I think people are interested in the specifics of things no matter where we are, where they are. Like, as an example, in Port of Spain, I wanted to go to the St. James neighborhood, which is a very specific like nightlife and like party neighborhood, and not just kind of like generically go to different places. I think, you know, I think people might like to hear a little bit about the specifics of Brooklyn. Also, I mean, we're hurting on an intro. Let's be real. No, I'm just kidding. Militant Apathy. Did y'all smoke some kush before you fired up the studio? Well, I mean, define before. _Janus. Hey boys, I think your religious musical lead-in activated my deep cover Manchurian Candidate sleep. I have a strange need to seek out directives from a dude named Ratzinger. Any advice? Were we playing religious music over that? Was that happening?
Oh no, before the show, some of the I'm playing Sam's bumper music now. Okay. That he provided me, and one of them was Messiah, oh, Hallelujah, and some Messiah highlights. Wow. You know, it's the type of stuff he plays when he does the out of studio from his bunker shows.
Wow. Yeah. Once again, you can call us, Matt, the number, please. And then I'll get to the
646-257-3920.
Oh, okay. Sad I am here. Ilmec, Friday morning, I got hit by a speeding bus that crushed my left foot. About to have my second surgery, but the great thing is I get to listen to the live show for the first time in over 7 months. Could you guys do something on a day on the day today? Damage sequestration is done. Still the best podcast in existence. True story.
I was laughing because that's certainly looking at the bright side of
things. Yeah, I mean, there are IMs like that that make me feel really, you know, like I don't, you know, it's funny. Kudos to you. I hope you have a great, speedy recovery. I'm assuming, I think Ilmek is a New Yorker. And those buses, man, yeah, they're really,
I hope
they
you
don't play.
I hope you sue the shit out of them and get a lot of money in your settlement, buddy. Seriously.
I hope so, too. I hope de Blasio personally signs you the check. I'll talk. I mean, we don't have anything planned on sequestration, but I, you know, look, I think, again, that's just the basic point that austerity has undermined the recovery. And now you've finally seen the last couple of months, as bad as it's been, now wages are starting to go up a little bit. The unemployment rate keeps ticking down. And the main point really is that even with as small a stimulus as we had, and even with the auto industry bailout as necessary as it was, and you know, making labor unions eat some horrible stuff, America's had some recovery. And then you go to Europe and look, Germany's totally fine. The core is, well, you know, the core actually, Germany's good. France is in real trouble because of austerity. Britain, UK had a double dip. They're still having an incredibly high unemployment rate, inequality crisis, and a rise of a far right party named UKIP, which you might even see them in coalition the next time we come around, which would be horrifying. And you know, throughout the rest of the Eurozone, austerity has still crippled that economy. So, you know, that – and every time you look at sequestration from Ebola to a slowed recovery to less people with jobs, that's sequestration again and again and again and again. Fred from Khan College, what's a short, pithy response to someone who claims that the Bush administration was not in fault for entering Iraq? I'm having trouble making it brief. It was the most stupid foreign policy decision in American history, and it was based on at best, hyped intelligence that led to just a complete unending disaster. I mean, you're probably just overthinking it. That's a really easy one to cover. Bush and change. Oh, for the love of Christ. Now Michael is the resident econ expert. Jesus, just shut the fuck up. You're embarrassing yourself. I don't know what you are talking about, but you seem to be back in form. Neff, welcome back, Michael. Coming in late. Need to catch up. Thank you so much.
So this past weekend, the Millions March event happened with protesters and activists filling the streets of cities all over the United States of America. In New York City alone, they believe about 30,000 people showed up in Washington Square Park and marched through the streets. Started at 2 p.m. The official event ended, I believe, around 7. 30,000 people. You could see the photos. Streets are just filled with people. I believe it went 19 city blocks long. 19 city blocks. And then in Washington, D.C., there was a massive demonstration all over the country. On Sunday, Fox News' Fox and Friends – now remember, the Fox and Friends weekend crew is different from the Fox and Friends weekday crew. So it's not Steve Doocy and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. We get Tucker Carlson and Anna Kuiman. And they'd like to cover what happened over the weekend with the Millions March, where tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands when you add all the protests together, hundreds of thousands of people showed up in the streets for what was without a doubt largely a peaceful protest. Let's see how they cover it.
And go into Tuesday. You're back into the 30s, about where you typically should be for this time of year. All right, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
You bet.
Maybe the warmer temperatures is why thousands of people came out yesterday for these protests around the country.
Maybe. Press pause for a second.
They did in Washington.
Maybe. Or maybe it was the police on black violence that's rampant across this country, with young black men being murdered by police officers in Cleveland, New York City, Ferguson, elsewhere. Maybe that was it. Because I don't know about you, if you've been paying attention, Fox News, but for the past few weeks, protesters have been showing up in the streets in Ferguson, in New York City, in Oakland, in Berkeley, in Detroit, in every major city you could think of. And the weather hasn't always been so nice. There's been torrential downpours. We're in the middle of winter in most of America. New York City, it's been what, 20, 30 degrees? But it's the nice weather that made these protesters come out, not the issue at hand. Continue.
New York and cities across America. In Washington, the rally was held by the Reverend Al Sharpton, host of MSNBC program. And there he is. Sharpton got up and explained, "We're not against the police." This was his claim. Listen.
Press pause.
We're not.
You will have to watch this video on YouTube when we post it today. Because what Fox News just did is they edited video from a different event. Let me explain. They say, let's now cut to the Reverend Al Sharpton, who was speaking at the Washington, D.C. demonstration. They say, let's cut to him. And then they cut to a video that's been going around of a very small group of protesters, maybe about a dozen. After the Millions March in New York City, they broke off, this maybe dozen protesters, maybe a few more, and someone caught them on video chanting, "What do we want, dead cops? When do we want it now?" We're talking about an event that across the country, we're maybe at 100,000, maybe even more, maybe even a little bit less, to be fair. I don't know, but we just had 30,000 confirmed by the city officials and the NYPD who were overseeing that march, which was permitted. 30,000 people were at that event. And there was a video taken of maybe a dozen chanting that dead cops chant in, on the streets after the event was officially over. I mean, either way, though, it's just a chant. They didn't actually kill the cops like the cops actually killed Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, John Crawford, Eric Garner. The list goes on and on. But, oh, the words they're saying hurts me. But regardless, okay. But what Fox News did was they edited that event when saying, here's Al Sharpton's event. Here's Al Sharpton now. As if Al Sharpton sanctioned the what do we want dead cops thing. And you know that even if they're going to say it was a mistake, we correct that, that the Fox News audience have already seen it. It's already ingrained in their head. It doesn't matter now. This is what they do, and they're great at doing it. They deceive the public. They deceive their viewers. And then they'll come out later with an apology to hold up whatever sort of journalistic integrity facade they have. But the damage has been done already. It's too late. It no longer matters. Al Sharpton's a race baiter, and now he's chanting for dead cops. They're saying this isn't about race. There's no race war in this country. They're the ones who make the money manufacturing the race war of white people beware, the blacks are out to get you. Because it's the white people who run out and stock up. The white people who run out and sell out firearms in their local gun shops. Because they think a black man's going to come knocking on their door and they're going to have to pull the trigger. Continue.
We're not saying all police are bad. We're not even saying all most are bad. We're not anti-police. But we're anti-brutality.
Interesting they cut to him saying this after the dead cops thing.
Must have a threshold to protect that. Second, the Justice Department.
It's like they're trying to call him a hypocrite.
To deal with this. Thirdly, we must have the power of special prosecutors, not the local prosecutors.
So the first clip you heard, people were saying.
Now, as an activist, and many people in the African American community, many of the Black Lives Matter activists out there, they say they have many problems with Al Sharpton. And they're rightfully so, they have some problems with Al Sharpton. There's a basis for this. But those issues they have with Al Sharpton aren't the same issues that a Fox News viewer has with Al Sharpton. So you could hold your criticisms of Al Sharpton as a black man, black woman, activist, liberal, progressive, whatever. But you have to realize that's not what they're trying to do here when they attack Al Sharpton. Because the Fox News viewer has no differentiation between Al Sharpton and a grassroots on the ground, Black Lives Matter, shut it down activist. Continue.
We want the cops dead.
Right.
And the second you heard Al Sharpton say,
here they go again,
we're not against the police.
And a lot of the protesters were holding signs say real thugs wear flag pins. And then Sharpton saying we're not anti-police.
Well, I will say I was actually caught in the protest yesterday. I was trying to get around town, and of course, traffic was snarled by all of this. There were about 25,000 people, according to some estimates, that were taken to the streets. So obviously, they feel very strongly about the cause, and largely, it was peaceful. And I didn't hear anybody saying, "What do we want? Dead cops or real thugs wear flag pins?"
Thank you, Anna
Kuiman. Bad apples in the bunch that are doing even more. What I kept hearing them say was, "Hands up, don't shoot," and "I can't breathe."
But what they were doing as a group was making this into a racial issue, and that's what I object to. I don't have any kind of conversation about police brutality. I don't want the police looking like Delta Force. I think that's a real conversation. I'm happy to engage in it. I may agree with them.
Press pause.
But I don't think that.
Now, here he is, Michael Brooks has written an article about this. He's conflating the two issues that conservatives and libertarians and mostly white people are trying to conflate here. There's the militarization of police, and then there's the issue of racial profiling, the number of black men who get shot and killed by police, the number of black men who are stopped and frisked by police, etc. Two very important issues, two issues that need to be addressed, but not the same thing. Because you see, black men aren't being killed across this country by tanks. They're not being killed by grenades or bombs or whatever, LRAD or whatever. They're being killed by handguns. They're being killed by police officers' bare hands in chokeholds. This is not a police militarization issue. You can say it's part of it in terms of how they are addressing the protests about the black men being killed. That certainly is where that issue does come into play. But in terms of the racial profiling, in terms of the deaths of Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, John Crawford, Michael Brown, numerous, countless other men in this country, black men, men of color, the police militarization issue doesn't really factor in there. Continue.
This is about is race. I don't think these are examples of racism, and I think it's totally unhelpful to make this a conversation about white versus black, and it's ridiculous to have it led by Al Sharpton, who has zero credibility at all. He's a hustler. And I think a criminal.
Well, where's the same outrage about the destruction of the family and where are moms and dads
in the
household trying to raise kids?
I retract my thank you to Anna Kuiman from before.
Gets killed in the line of duty.
Well, much of the criticism, and even the people affected by this violence have come out and said, "Look, Mr. Sharpton, don't turn."
You know, let me address the whole. Why aren't there protests when police kill a white person? Or why aren't there protests when a police officer is killed? What's stopping you? Because black people are people who support the issue of black men not being killed by police? Because those people, whatever color skin they are, get out there and they're active and they have there's a grassroots infrastructure they've built over many, many years and decades where they say this is no more because they go out there and make their voices heard. They're supposed to be demonized for that? No. Why don't white people who have a problem with all the white people apparently who are getting killed by police, or why don't the police officers who have an issue with police officers being killed by people, why don't they get out there and protest? Nobody's stopping them. Hell, if a white person is killed by a chokehold and activists want to get together and get people of all races out there to protest that white person getting killed by a chokehold, I'll support that. I'm against all police brutality. But to say that because they're protesting for one thing, they shouldn't be because they're not protesting for one thing, they should also not be protesting for the one that they want to protest for? This doesn't make any sense. Continue.
This into a rodeo. Don't come here and block our streets and turn this into a circus. Why don't you address the real issue in our community, which is the family breaking down?
Because it's too hard. It's so much easier, and you see the President of the United States doing this exact same thing. It's so much easier to just claim white racism is America's biggest problem because it's fundamentally unsolvable. So you just pass the buck by saying that. There's nothing you can really do about it. And second, it takes the onus off you. You don't have to do anything about massive unemployment in the black community, about crime in the black community, about the destruction of the black family. Those are the real issues, but you get to ignore them when you blame it all on racism. And so it serves the purposes of a couple
press
of people.
That's probably it with that there, but let's get down to that. No, why aren't you addressing the issues? Why aren't you addressing the racism in this country? Why aren't you addressing that these issues that you want brought up in the black community, many of these issues stem from years, decades, hundreds of years of slavery in this country. But we don't want to talk about that. Slavery is so, my ancestors, my grandma probably didn't even own slaves. How does that affect me? I didn't have anything to do with that. But then you want to address issues that can directly correlate with the ancestors. Join in, Michael. What would you like to say?
Oh, I was just saying, well, obviously Jim Crow. Racial bias. And also, and a very important thing to also mention here, that, you know, a geographic point, you know, Jim Crow and slavery, obviously, are primarily think of these as Southern institutions, and they were. But the North had systemic housing discrimination, massive police violence, patronage networks that excluded African Americans, and the notion again that, you know, pick your date. Some people, basically say after slavery. Other people say as soon as a couple of bills were passed in the 60s and the Kennedy and Johnson eras.
Yeah.
That, you know, all of this is done is just so mind-blowingly delusional and shows such a basic lack of both empathy and elementary understanding of American history. It's pathetic. It's totally pathetic. And it's not and it's also very important that even as the South has this very specific and horrific, brutal history, the North does too. And the West does. And, you know, it's just, I mean, hearing this and hearing the lines from first, you know, splicing in the wrong footage, then calling it a circus, the racial implications of that, then equating brutality with militarization. Both you just use not the same thing, as you say. And then we're going to go and we're going to have this same, and then, oh, why not protest, blah, 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 brutality. And then we're going to go and we're going to have another lecture on the black family. You know, and notice too that when rates of things like divorce start to track and get synchronized, you don't hear the same type of lecturing on the black community about that anymore.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes. You know, what does disrupting traffic do? Why do that? Yeah, tell that to Martin Luther King who marched in the streets. What is disrupting what is making you late when you're trying to get somewhere on the bus or in your car do? Ask Rosa Parks what that does. Give me a break.
All right, folks, we will be back in the fun half in just a moment.